जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बालाबा गिरिवन दारी जय गोपी जन बालाबा गिरिवन दारी जय यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बालाबा गिरिवन दारी जय गोपी जन बालाबा गिरिवन दारी जय यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनचारी यमुना तीरा बनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvajakacharya Asatarasata Sisi Madhis Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 2, Text 36. Prakrita prakrita sristye yata jivarupa. Taharaye atma tumi mula swarupa. Prakrita prakrita sristye yata jivarupa. Taharaye atma tumi mula swarupa. Prakrita prakrita svistye yata jivarupa. Taharaye atma tumi mula swarupa. Prakrita prakrita svistye yata jivarupa. Taharaye atma tumi mula swarupa. Taharaye atma tumi mula swarupa. Prakrita prakrita svistye yata jivarupa. Tahareya atma tume mula swarupa.
Any ladies?
Prakrita prakrita svistye yata jivarupa. Taharaye atma tumi mula swarupa. Prakrita, material. Aprakrita, and spiritual. Svistye, in the creations. Yata, as many as there are. Jiva Rupa, the living beings. Tahara, of them. Ye, who? Atma, the super soul. To me, you. Mula Swarupa, ultimate source. Translation. All the living beings within the material and spiritual worlds are ultimately born of you, for you are the super soul of them all. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The cosmic manifestation is generated by the interaction of the three modes of material nature. The transcendental world has no such material modes. Although it is nevertheless full of spiritual variegatedness. In the spiritual world, there are also innumerable living entities who are eternally liberated souls engaged in transcendental loving service to Lord Krishna. The conditioned souls who remain within the material cosmic creation are subjected to the threefold miseries and the pangs of material nature. They exist in different species of life because they are eternally averse to transcendental loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. Sankarshan is the original source of all living entities because they are all expansions of his marginal potency. Some of them are conditioned by material nature, whereas others are under the protection of the spiritual nature. The material nature is a conditioned manifestation of spiritual nature, just as smoke is a conditional stage of fire. Smoke is dependent on fire, but in a blazing fire, there is no place for smoke. Smoke disturbs, but fire serves. The serving spirit of the residents of the transcendental world is displayed in five varieties of relationships with the Supreme Lord, who is the central enjoyer. In the material world, everyone is a self-centered enjoyer of mundane happiness and distress. One considers himself the Lord of everything and tries to enjoy the illusory energy. But he is not successful because he is not independent. He is but a minute particle of the energy of Lord Sankarshan. All living beings exist under the control of the Supreme Lord, who is therefore called Narayana. You can repeat. All the living beings within the material and spiritual worlds are ultimately born of you, for you are the super soul of them all. Omagina timirandasha ganandana salakaya chaksurlan malitam jaina tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayavrupa Gadamayam Dadati Sva Patandikam Panchakopa Tudubhischa Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So it was described here, you are the super soul of them all. Yesterday evening, I had a very fortunate opportunity. I came here to the temple, and Daivashakti Mataji was giving class, Balaram Hall. Very wonderful class. We should all be there every Sunday evening, I think, to hear about these detailed descriptions of Srila Prabhupada. I say that because the topic was Srila Prabhupada in the late 50s and the early 60s. He was trying to make arrangements to follow the orders of his spiritual master. Prabhupada, we know, he went through so many difficulties. We speak about this many times of devotees. They think becoming devotee means all your problems are solved. They are. But it doesn't mean being here in this material world, difficulties aren't there. She was describing how before Srila Prabhupada left, and even maybe then it was in the late 60s, he was still considering opening up a temple. And yeah, it was 68, 69. And he had his disciples at different times sending $100, 1968, $100 means $1,000. And somehow or other, it got stolen once. Another time it got stolen. Despite the best efforts, so many cheaters would take advantage. But Prabhupada didn't become discouraged. And he had his desires to be fulfilled. But he didn't become discouraged, but he took it as it's not what I'm meant to do at this time. I'll concentrate in the West. And that's what he did. But these desires were there, of course. At that time also, he was considering how to distribute his Back to Godhead magazines. He made arrangements. He wanted to get funding, send 10,000, I believe it was, to America, another 10,000 to Russia, 500 or 1,000 Argentina, South America, different places. He had all these desires to fulfill. Pure devotee, he had his desires. And we know ultimately all of those desires were filled and much, much more. But it also took time. In the early 60s, from Kanpur and Prabhupada, he was in Juhu. Juhu. Juhu, as you know, it was a very special place. And Prabhupada saw that property that was purchased 10 years later, whatever it was. But he saw it at that time and he thought, and he made a promise. He made a promise to the Lord, if I can get this property, I'll build you a very nice temple. Prabhupada always remembered that promise. That would come up again and again as time went on. The property, he saw it because he was going to Sumati Murariji's place. So it was just 2 blocks away. Mataji was nicely describing how, of course, everything was South Bombay at that time in the 50s and the 60s. Juhu was literally a fishing village. But wealthy people, they had places there. They didn't want to be in the intensity of the city of Bombay. So those that could afford it, that knew, they had nice little, their cottages or whatever, their houses there in Juhu. So Prabhupada was going there and he saw that place. He wanted that place. So of course we know later on he got that place. It wasn't simple even then. It was a huge battle. Books have been written. Giriraj Maharaj wrote a book about it. Lokanath Maharaj wrote a book about the Juhu place. Such an amazing place. And when that time came that Mr. Nair died, he was the antagonist in that property, preventing, trying to again, always there. They're always there. Even with the pure devotee, these struggles were there. It wasn't that it was just gifted. Prabhupada personally had to deal with that battle. No one else was capable of dealing with these people. Only one person. I remember being with Srila Prabhupada, it was 1974, and it was when he was here in August, September, he became ill, then gradually he recovered, and as he recovered, some of us became very ill, and finally we recovered. And right from here, Prabhupada made his way to Juhu, to again, with his disciples, try to secure that property. And it was such a battle. But the day Mr. Nair died, I was massaging Prabhupada when he received the message. And he said, as I was massaging him, he said to me, I told Krishna, you get me this place, we'll put a nice temple here. I will build you a temple. So that desire was there. And of course, who's hearing these desires? The Lord in the heart. I told you how I was raised in the Catholic, Roman Catholic tradition. And we also knew about super soul, though we had no descriptions. We knew Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, they said, was the Lord in the heart. But there was no understanding he's there. But what is his purpose there? That I never knew as a child. And questions weren't asked at that time by anyone. But now we understand he's sitting there and he's just waiting for us. He's not pushing, he's not forcing. Unless you're very fortunate, later on you become devotees. And sometimes he forces. But in the beginning he's just sitting waiting. We always hear those descriptions, the two birds in the tree. It's described, we're running around like madmen. Trying to be the Lord of everything, Prabhupada says in the purport. Trying to be the Lord of all we survey. Small L, not capital L Lord. Small Lords. We all think we're small Lords. That's why we're here. We know, Prabhupada would say, 75%, all living entities in the spiritual world, 75% of creation. So this material world, smaller place. But I never understood what it means that the Lord is in the heart. But then just listening to this class last night and the descriptions, all of Prabhupada's desires, the things that he wanted, that he meditated on, that he considered, and he would say, we have temples all around the world. These were his desires, and they were pure desires to serve the Lord. And gradually, all of his desires, they were fulfilled. Just like he even mentions about this Krishna Balaram Mandir, in the 10th canto, in the earlier chapters, it was said, a devotee had a desire. Everyone has desires. Told you when I was Prabhupada's servant, very first days of his being his personal servant, we went to Dallas. After one day in Pittsburgh, Prabhupada went to Dallas Gurukula. And he stayed there for 3-4 days. And that's where I got much of my training, my very early training in what I was supposed to do as a personal servant. 3 days in a row, I gave him massage in the kitchen, on the kitchen floor, because the cooker was on the stove in the kitchen. So we had put the straw mat he had done in the kitchen so he could show me how to use the cooker. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. He wanted me to be able to do that, to take care, to prepare his lunch in 45 minutes, as he would say. Whole lunch, 45 minutes. Prabhupada liked saying that because it meant you're not spending 6 hours preparing my meal. Minimal amount of time taken to do it. And he mentioned that here in his room right there. Shruta Kirti, he prepares my whole lunch, 45 minutes. He was proud to say that. It was perhaps the only time I ever heard Prabhupada compliment me in front of myself. Many times he would chastise me. That he did regularly. But it wasn't often you would get a compliment from Srila Prabhupada while you were in his presence, because he didn't want you to become puffed up. And I said at that time, yes, Prabhupada, your whole lunch and your massage at the same time. He said, yes, lunch and massage, 45 minutes. This was his pleasure. So all these desires are there. Prabhupada's desires, the Juhu, look at the temple that manifest. He wasn't even there for the opening. That didn't matter. He was here for this opening, that desire to have this Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada's desire. He stayed here. He did everything. So in 74, after he became well, then he went to Juhu. And I had been sick. I was always sick in India. So I was sick at that time. I almost left in Vrindavan, but I realized that was a very foolish thing to do. And Prabhupada, he was just under that tree. He was very happy. He said, because your sincerity, Krishna, he'll fulfill all your desires. See, this is the trick. You just do your service. I read one quote yesterday. Prabhupada said, the more your service increases, the more your dormant love for Krishna increases. I also saw a quote yesterday, of course, and someone was denying Prabhupada ever said, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And this devotee, big devotee, said, Prabhupada never said those words. And I'm thinking, he said it to me. 1976, Hari Sari was Prabhupada's servant at that time. I had left him. It was about a year before. I left that personal service. Foolishness. Huh? Just foolishness. Stupidity. And then he saw me in Detroit Temple. Gave class. And I was just like everyone. All lined up as Srila Prabhupada would walk by. I was no longer walking next to him or behind, right behind him, Bhagavatam, holding his glasses. No, now I was just like all my god brothers, god sisters, standing there just trying to get a minute just to see Prabhupada for a few seconds, just to have him look, glance of the pure devotee. And then, of course, he was walking by, and he saw me, and of course I fell to the ground, offered obeisances. And when I got up, I sat up, he looked at me, he said, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Yeah. Gunarnava, he also wrote, Prabhupada said that to me, here at Krishna Balaram Mandir, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So does that mean, and this is why that devotee said that. See, if you think like that, all I have to do is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Leave me alone. Don't ask me to do anything. Prabhupada's instructions, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're praying for service. That happiness comes by the service mentality. And I was thinking of Srila Prabhupada in so many ways, how he accepted service, even after he had made this big, big institution. Here at that time, September 1974, many devotees were here because they came for the grand opening that never happened. Didn't happen for another 6 months. But they came here, so many devotees were here, sannyasis, some GBC members like that. So we were all, of course, in so much anxiety. Prabhupada's ill. We thought it was almost like he was going to leave us. And of course, the assumption was he's managing this ISKCON society. If we can just free him from managing, because he would always say, if he would get these letters sometimes, this problem, that problem, he said, discuss with the GBC. Don't give me this headache. This headache. He said, free me so I can translate. So the devotees' desire, their desire was sincere. And they came to Prabhupada. Ooh, a whole contingent. 10, 12 of them. They came into Prabhupada's room one afternoon. Offered obeisances and sat up. And of course, Prabhupada would always look. If he didn't call a meeting of everyone, everyone would come, he'd look. Yes. What is on your minds? What are you all thinking? He'd look, yes. And they said, Prabhupada, we've been speaking and discussing, and we came to the conclusion, we want to free you from all your management responsibilities. We want so you can just translate. We can take care of everything. We can manage everything. We can respond to the letters. And they went on and on. And Prabhupada just sat and listened. And then when we were finished, he looked at them. He said, who are you to tell your spiritual master what he can and cannot do? We could never understand Prabhupada's mind. Despite, he would say things to encourage us. Like he said one day, 72, if you don't get it together with these life membership programs, giving him books as you're supposed to, taking care, providing, I'm going to leave India. I was with him 2 months at that time. When he said that, I thought, Prabhupada's going to leave India. And I'm thinking, good. India is terrible. I can't even be healthy here. So I'm thinking Prabhupada's going to leave India. You know, as time went on, I realized Prabhupada would say things, but he would say it just to push us. He was never going to leave anything he had started. Once you take on a service, no one takes that service away. Only Krishna and Prabhupada, they can take through their agencies to take it away. And we were trained like that in ISKCON. Once you got a service, you may as well just retire in that place. That's your service. Until you die, you have that service. He would say that to the pujaris. You become pujari, especially you become Pajoy, you never walk away from that service. That deity, they're your life and soul. For us, Srila Prabhupada, he's our life and soul. Desire. Everything is about desires. I said in that one of the very first morning walks I was with Prabhupada, he had to show me everything. I had, at that time, very sincere desire to serve. I had just left home, family, school, everything, and moved into the temple. In those days, we moved in, we only wanted to serve Srila Prabhupada, follow all of his instructions, chant, serve from morning till night, chant our rounds. That was our desire. And they were fulfilled immediately. But I told this story on the morning walk. A young brahmachari was on the morning walk. Usually morning walks, sannyasis, temple presidents, big book distributors, they would get to go on the morning walk. And if you were really thoughtful, and if you could get your own conveyance, you would follow Prabhupada's car and you would just sneak into the morning walk. But somehow or other, this devotee was on the morning walk. And all of us, just like me, when Prabhupada walked by, I just wanted him to acknowledge me. And of course he did. So we all wanted that in Prabhupada's presence. Just a moment, if he could look at us, even say, Hare Krishna. Sometimes you'd do something, he would look down, thank you. Devotee would be in ecstasy. Just two words, Prabhupada, thank you. Prabhupada acknowledged me. He saw me. So this brahmachari, the whole morning walk, hour and a half, he couldn't ask the question. And I saw him, that he wanted some communication with Prabhupada. He wanted to be recognized by Prabhupada. He just wanted something, but he couldn't ask the question. So then at the end of the walk, Prabhupada gets in. I open up the door, back door of the car, and Prabhupada gets in. So what's the next step? I'm going to close the door. And that brahmachari, he was right by the door, and he sees his opportunity finished. He's not going to be on another morning walk. Prabhupada's going to leave. Who knows when the next time he would see Srila Prabhupada. So he understood it was done. And before I could close the door, he shouted, Prabhupada, how do I become Krishna conscious? Everything Prabhupada tells us how to become Krishna conscious. So it was obvious, he just wanted somehow to speak to Prabhupada and have Prabhupada say something. But now Prabhupada's sitting in the back seat of the car and he's asking such a question. Prabhupada could have spent hours and hours describing how to become Krishna conscious. And I'm holding the door, the knob, the door handle. And Prabhupada looked at him. He said, desire. One word. Prabhupada was expert in every situation. He said, desire. And then he turned and looked forward. I learned very quickly Prabhupada's different things he would do. That meant finished. He was done. He didn't have anything else he was going to say. Desire. And I closed the door. And I learned my service 2 days before my service. Shyama Sundar said to me, when Prabhupada's in the car, you sit next to him. That was my service. And I took it very seriously, that service. Shyama Sundar said, on the airplane, you sit next to Prabhupada. It's like millions of lifetimes of desires we should have being fulfilled. I got to be next to Prabhupada. So I closed the door. I went and sat down next to Prabhupada. So everything is about our desires. Because whatever you're desiring, the Lord in the heart, he's listening. And he's fulfilling. materially you have desires, they're getting fulfilled based on your karma. But once you turn those desires to Krishna, 100% to Krishna, he's reciprocating 100%. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. Just like in that class we heard yesterday evening, Prabhupada had desires to spread his BTG all over the world. He had desires to build the temple in Juhu. It didn't happen right away. It was more than 10 years later, temple manifested in Juhu. He had the desire to build the temple here. So Krishna fulfilled all of his desires. You know, over the years, I've of course gone to Mayapur a number of times. I've been there a few times for their abhishekhs they would have for the Panchatattva every 5 years. And I wanted to be one of the fortunate ones. I wanted to be there with the big, big jugs or the big, huge conch shells and pouring it over Lord Nityananda or Lord Chaitanya. Of course, never happened. Never happened. Once, twice, three, four times there I was there. I never got that opportunity. Only some sannyasis and one or two others in white somehow or other, they were able to. And even though I asked Pankajangri, right? And the morning, we went into his room and I said, can I do some abhishek? He said, no, only this, that can do. And he said, everyone takes part. He said, even you're not on the altar. He said, if you're just participating and you're watching, he said, it's the same. I looked at him. I said, I was Prabhupada's servant for 2 years. You can't tell me it's the same. Massaging him and watching him get massaged are two different things. Touching that body of the pure devotee and watching someone else do it. Maybe it's the same, but it's a chintya beta beta tattva. It's also different. A few times I got to do abhishek of Lord Narsingadeva in New Vrindavan. Biggest Lord Narsinga in our society. Big, beautiful deity. Made right there in New Vrindavan. Beautiful deity. So that I got to do. Always wanted to be part of an installation. That's what I wanted. For years. Even though I have no right. But we have desires. So I had that desire. And then I was never officially invited to go to Delhi, to the temple in Delhi, for the installation of Lord Narsingadev. But we went. We thought, what an opportunity. Even though we never really want to leave Vrindavan, just 2 hours away, Ista Kailash temple, Ista Kailash. So we went. We went 3 days before. They had 3 days of ceremonies. And even without knowing it, on the first day, somehow or other, that was the big fire, the jagya. They had all the pods, all the coconuts, all the lords and the coconuts. And it went on for 1 hour, 2 hours. And I was in my room. I didn't even know what was going on because everything was in Hindi. I didn't understand. So I'm sitting in my room while this fire sacrifice is going on. And then my wife hears my name being called over the loudspeaker system. Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he told one of his brahmacharis, where's Shrutakirti? Tell Shrutakirti to come. So he announces it over the loudspeaker system in the temple room. I'm in the guest house. And all we hear is Shrutakirti. So I ran in there. I offered obeisances. As soon as I stood up, someone handed me a basket filled with grains. That's how last minute I was. If I was 2 minutes later, I would have missed everything. But I got there and they handed me. And we're all putting the grains into the fire. So I thought, This is amazing. Yeah.
And then the next day came. The next day was a very big day. Yes, the next day was when the pujaris, they all called into the form of the deity. You have the reed of kusa grass and you touch all the different parts. And you pray to the Lord to come into the deity. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj was there. Another Maharaj, Golokananda Swami, was there. And Narsinga Kavacha, at our head of the ministry, he was there. So they're all doing Lakshmi Devi and Prahlad Maharaj and Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He's doing Lord Narsingadev, big Lord Narsingadev. And this went on for like 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And he was there for some time. And then he said, how much longer? Because it requires a lot. It requires a lot of energy. So then he said, okay. He said, I'll go. And he handed the reed to me. I'm just sitting there the whole time. I just want so much to do this. And he just handed it to me. And then I got to finish. Go here, go here, go there. It's in our room now. That reed touched the Lord's body as he's being called in. His very life air is being called into the form of Lord Narsingadev. It was the most beautiful thing to see. And it was ecstatic. So that happened that day. So again, these were desires I had. I didn't even know to the extent of what was going on. So then the next day came. And in the morning again, we did Abhishek in the morning while the doors were closed. I got to be part of that. So then the afternoon, 5 PM or so, they were going to open the curtains. And they allowed so many people, Brahmins, to do Abhishek to the Lord, the poor. So before they opened the doors, Narsinga Kavacha, he's over there, and we built these stairs, because you have to be on top, of course, to do the bathing, because he's very tall, and then Ananta Sesha on top, so you have to get up in there. So they made these stairs to get up, and Narsinga Kavacha looked at me. He said, do you want to do the Abhishek? And I looked at him like, what are you kidding? That was like when they asked me, do you want to be Prabhupada's servant? Yes, I do. So I said, yes. He said, well, once you go up there, he said, you have to stay until it's finished. And I'm like, okay. This sounds better and better all the time. But we were up there for 2 hours. Huh? So they were bringing in these pots, and then they would fill up the conch shell. So you got to bend down to fill it up. So it was myself and Narsinga Kavacha. He's bathing Prahlad, and I'm bathing Lakshmi, and we're both bathing Lord Narsingadev. So for 2 hours, and it was hot, and my back was hurting, and it was exhausting. One point he looked at me, he said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. But it was a desire I had. It was a nice spiritual desire. And I had it for years. And it was fulfilled without me even knowing it. Same thing happened that day again. I had to be called by Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Where's Shruta Kirti? He said. Somehow or other, I was in the room again, completely lost in my thoughts. And again, we hear, tell Shruta Kirti to come. Just see the arrangements the Lord makes. He's fulfilling our desires. And if you have desires to serve, they will all be fulfilled. Desire to serve, not desire to enjoy. Srila Prabhupada, when they said to him, we'll do all the management. He said, this is my society. Who are you? Manage this society. We know he managed until the day he left. He was managing, huh? We know, like he said to Giriraj, he was instructing him what's required. What did he say? Intelligence and organization.
So Prabhupada, if he was here, he was going to see that his service was never interrupted. Not your job to tell me what I can do or what I can't do. And everybody just, they didn't understand Srila Prabhupada. I remember there in Juhu, every day, I'm thinking, when is he going to leave India? When is he going to leave Juhu? Some of us were thinking like that. Some of my god brothers in the entourage also. We wanted to leave. But Prabhupada was staying to secure that property, to see that his desires and what he told the deity, huh? I'll build you a temple, that was going to happen. But we had desires to leave. And what did he do? He told Brahmananda and I to go to Hawaii. He said, I'll be there in 1-2 weeks, but you go because there was some difficulty in Hawaii. But we actually also had that desire. And he fulfilled it, our desire to leave him. I remember sitting next to Brahmananda. We're sitting on this 747, these huge airplanes they had then. We're sitting next to one another. And the plane took off. We used to see every day those planes take off from the airport, right by the temple, Juhu. They would take off and we'd think, oh, when are we going to be on that plane? And then it happened because we had that desire. And then we're sitting there and Brahmananda looked at me. He said, what have we done? We just left Prabhupada. Our desires were fulfilled. You have to be careful what you desire in Krishna consciousness. We always have to be very careful of our desires. Because the Lord, He's in your heart there. And He'll fulfill your desires. Sometimes, it wasn't the best desire. We got to Hawaii, I remember, as all we did was wait for Prabhupada to come. When is He coming? When is He coming? He finally came when he decided everything in Juhu had settled down. I've told those stories when he would get a letter, when he had been very ill. And then he got a letter from Shyama Sundar, come to Rath Yatra in England. Big 3-cart Rath Yatra. And he got a letter from Mudit Visa, come to Australia and rest. So he called all his big GBC sannyasis in. You discuss, tell me what to do. And then he let them go. I gave Prabhupada massage. He asked me. This time I had been with Prabhupada a year. So I had a little understanding of how he said things and what he did. Sometimes not the same. So he said to me, what do you think? I didn't tell him what I thought. I said, Prabhupada, you're going to go and preach. You're going to go to the Rath Yatra and you can preach to thousands of people. And Prabhupada I was behind him. He just shook his head. He said, you have good understanding. Later on, he called everyone in. You've discussed, what have you decided? And they said, Prabhupada, you should go to Australia and rest. Prabhupada just shook his head. He could see, they've been devotees 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, whatever it was. But they didn't understand the mood of a devotee, a pure devotee. They only want to serve. Rest. Not interested in rest. Prabhupada was not interested in rest. I got from Prithu Prabhu. What was Prabhupada's schedule? What was the schedule? We know if you want to start with the morning, it started just after midnight. Midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, his translating work. That's what he did. Off and on, he would chant. He would translate. He would chant. Then he would get ready for the morning walk. Then morning walk. Then greet the deities. We had Guru Puja. He would give class. Then he had his breakfast, 9 o'clock or so. Then from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock, all management. That's what I saw, and I realized that even more recently, how Prabhupada had a very fixed schedule.
We know, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see he had a schedule and he followed that. Prabhupada did the same thing. So morning time, he'd bring in whatever temple, president would come in, they would discuss things. During his massage, secretary would come in and read the letters, 10, 20 letters every day that would finally reach Prabhupada. And he would respond to the letters. So all through that time, was managing. Then, of course, he would bathe, have his lunch, take 15-minute, 20-minute nap. His afternoon very much was devoted to his bhajan. He would chant. He would walk around his room, chant. He would read every day. Not just that he translated his books. And to me, that was the most wonderful thing, watching Prabhupada reading his books. Everything he told us to do, he was doing it. He didn't say you should do like this. He didn't do it. He didn't have to do that anymore. No, pure devotee. He would read and relish reading his books, all the books that were getting put out every day. And he read all of the books that were available. One day reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, another day Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Like he said, Krishna's sweet, like a sweet ball. Right? Everywhere is sweet. And he showed it by his example. That's what he did. So that was his afternoon. Then in the evening, many times he would get darshan. He would give himself again to the devotees. And it could be light, simple speaking. It could be some philosophy in there. But he just would give himself again. And then my good fortune in the evening was he would ask for prasadam. Sometimes he showed me how to make different preparations. One time he said, I'll show you make cabbage and potatoes. Show me how to cut the cabbage, very fine, little cube potatoes. How to let it stick on the bottom. For us in the West, that was always, burning things in the pot was never something we want to do. But his style of cooking was very different. Some things you scorch on the bottom of the pot. So he would show how to do these things. He would come into the room and then he would take prasadam and chanting. And then finally get massage in the evening. And some of those massages, they were the most wonderful, wonderful part of the day for me. I always say how I was alone. No one comes into the room. No more secretaries, no more Sanskrit editors, no mail. Just Srila Prabhupada and his servant giving massage. And if he wanted to, he would talk. And usually that talk was very sweet, very intimate. Sometimes he would talk. So many stories you hear about Prabhupada's childhood. That was his descriptions of his childhood. While he was getting massage, he would remember. His memory was perfect. He would go back, remember so many things. So what's important for us is to learn we have to purify our desires. And the more you do that, it says the more that the dust becomes clear in the mirror, that dormant, as Prabhupada says, that dormant love of Krishna, by the more service you do. So our program isn't as time goes by, we've done so much service, we rest, we retire. We know retirement. There's no such thing as retirement, Prabhupada said, for a devotee. And I learned that in the very beginning from one of his first disciples, Kirtanananda. He said, we're living Bhagavad Gita. We're not reading Bhagavad Gita so much. We're living the Bhagavad Gita. It was service. But I see it was that service that gave me more service. And it gives you more service. And I see here, coming to this place in Vrindavan, you take a little service. And then all of a sudden, you have an opportunity to more service. And more service. And I saw Prabhupada, if he was given an opportunity to speak, he accepted it, no matter what. His health didn't matter. The distance didn't matter. That first trip to Kurukshetra, that was the same when we had that Bhagavad Gita, all the Mayavadis. Prabhupada went because he was given an invitation. So when you're given an invitation to serve, you grab it, that service. You don't let go of that service. It's been given to you by the Lord. The Lord in the heart, he sees there's some sincerity there. Let me give that person opportunity to serve. So that's our business. Our business is serving. We understand Krishna's in the heart. He's always there watching us, correcting us. As devotees, we make mistakes. He'll correct us, put us back on track again. When Prabhupada saw his disciples had fallen down, some disciples came back not following any principles. What did Prabhupada do? Immediately he gave them service. Because that's the connection. And sometimes you become disconnected. You again have to connect. And the connection is going to be through service. That's our connection. That's we know. Just to satisfy the orders of the spiritual master. And I saw over time, everything Prabhupada did was the order of his spiritual master. What he wanted him to do. And as Prabhupada said, he made that his life and soul. And he said, therefore, if I have any success, it's because I followed that order. So our business is to very carefully understand what are Srila Prabhupada's orders, what are his desires for us in every situation, and then do that. And if we do that, very quickly we can become happy, satisfied, and get more service in Krishna consciousness. And at the end of this life, go back home, back to Godhead. That's Prabhupada's guarantee. But it requires that purity. It requires that desire. No more material desires. We have the desire to serve. So there's little time left. Anyone have any questions, comments? Jai Dharmatma Prabhu. And he made that point. Devotee's desire. Very humbly he made it. He didn't say, my desire. He said, devotee had desire. So he made that. And in Juhu, as she mentioned last night, when he said, I want a temple in Juhu, all the people that were giving him some assistance said, it's in the middle of nowhere. Why are you putting a temple in Juhu? Put it in Bombay. This is where we reside. Everyone's there. Why are you putting a temple in this no man's land? Prabhupada, besides his desires, Prabhupada had vision. Now look at that temple. Huh? Heaven on earth. They have heaven on earth there in Juhu. Did you want to say anything else?
There was another similar pastime that you mentioned that Prabhupada said that you are going to tell me what I have to do. So similar pastime we heard from his holiness Sakti Charu Maharaj that during the final days that Prabhupada was not doing anything and Pishima wanted to cook for Prabhupada and Prabhupada also allowed her to cook. Kirtanananda Maharaj, he was very strong.
Shouldn't take, yeah.
And he was telling her that you cannot cook this for Prabhupada if you can save. And then Prabhupada told him that just let her cook.
Yes.
She wants to cook and let her cook. But then when actually the plate arrived in front of Prabhupada, so then Kirtanananda Maharaj became very strong. He said that no, you cannot eat. He told Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada told him that I told you that I wanted her to cook for me. So why you are doing this to me?
Mm.
And then he mentioned a very strong statement that never ever think that you know better than your spiritual master.
Mm.
And that was so heavy for him that on the same day or the next day he left.
Mm. So yes, so that we have to make our desire to know Prabhupada's desires. By satisfying his desires, fulfilling his desires, that's our success. Anything else is no success. You satisfy his desires. Yes. He did the same thing with me. I've told that many times how he said, make some upma. He said, I like your upma. He said to me, I like your upma. Jamuna was in the next room. So I went in, I said, Prabhupada wants upma. And Jamuna looked, she said, I'll start right away. I said, no, he said he wants me to make it. And she immediately said, wonderful, what do you need? See, this is devotee. Not, what do you mean, he told you, I'm the best cook in all of ISKCON. I've got books like this on cooking. Who are you to cook for Prabhupada? No, that's not devotee. Prabhupada said, me, and I said that to her very humbly. I said, Prabhupada wants me to make it. He said he likes my upma. But then the same thing, I brought it to him. He pushed it around like a child doesn't like what they're eating. He just pushed it around. Not that he didn't like it, but he had no appetite. But we were all excited to try to do some service for Srila Prabhupada. And he said, I thought, you made it, perhaps it would increase my appetite. He said, but I have no appetite. So yeah, our only job is to fulfill his desires, whatever it is, however simple, however profound it may be. Once in Juhu, it broke my heart. Prabhupada, he would tell him that, you know, before the sun goes down, you close everything. So the mosquitoes, they had mosquitoes this big. All right, maybe that big. The rats were this big. So he said, close the windows, you know, before the sun goes down. So I was doing that, but sometimes I would forget. So one day I'm sitting there in the hallway and Palik is closing the windows. And I was upset. She took my service. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm closing the windows. I said, that's my service. This is a service attitude. That's my service. She said, Prabhupada said that you're not doing it. Oh, when she said that to me, I never forgot again. Took that to find out. But that's it. We have to become attached to that service. Not that it should be taken away whimsically. No, our service is, that's our connection. That's our whole Krishna consciousness is based on following those principles, doing our service. Okay, one more question.
Thank you for the wonderful presentation. It's out of the subject.
Off topic? Did you say off topic?
No. It's a relationship to
desire and causeless mercy. Everything is causeless mercy. You know, one of the things Prabhupada said when the Gopi Bhava Club was going on, he said, first you deserve, then you desire. So our principle is
causeless mercy is we're given the opportunity. That's why we have to take it very seriously when service is there. Because, like, blessings. Everyone coming in, give me blessings, give me blessings. Prabhupada say, blessings are there. But you have to take those blessings. The blessings, that's the causeless mercy. That's the ability to serve. Otherwise, what is our qualification? We knew when Prabhupada came to America, what was our qualification? He said, I gave you your qualification. So that's causeless. That's what it means. There is no cause. That's the whole principle of causeless mercy. It's not caused mercy. It's causeless. Causeless mercy. Maybe something in the past. Sometimes he said in the past, my son, it was my stepson, 3 years old, he's dancing in front of Prabhupada every day. There's pictures of him in front of Prabhupada, sitting on Prabhupada's lap in the car in Juhu, going from the residence to the temple, just a short ride, sitting in Prabhupada's lap. And one day he was dancing. Prabhupada said he was a great dancer in his last life. So we have to take those opportunities. But that doesn't mean if we had this, we could say, you know, we all go, so many go to astrologers, they'll say, you were this in your last life, you did this, you know, you're from the heavenly planet, some people say this, that. That doesn't mean, now you're here in this lifetime. What you did last lifetime doesn't mean anything unless you take that opportunity that's put you in this place and take advantage of it. So that's, Prabhupada's give us so many opportunities to take advantage of. I see here, today summer has started. We have a full-on summer now. So many people, they go away. Some go for preaching, some go just to find a cooler place. But if your service is here, you stay here, you tolerate any inconvenience to do your service. You can make great, great progress. And your desires will be fulfilled. That's causeless mercy. But it's our desire. We have to have the desire. Everyone, it's all we do. That's why Prabhupada said desire. We don't do anything except desire. Right? We know not a blade of grass is moving without the supreme sanction of the Supreme Lord. So everything that happens, he's allowing to happen. So our desires, we have to work on purifying those desires. Then everything else will come. And it guaranteed. I see, I'm telling you, to be at the Abhishek for Lord Narsingadev, I was just beyond happy. And I thought, and it was there. Many desires are in there. But that was a desire, it was a very nice desire that fructified. And that was causeless mercy. I did not. What did I do to deserve? But I desired. And somehow or other, by the mercy of Lord Narsingadev, Lakshmi Narsinga Prahlad, and Gopal Krishna Maharaj, my senior godbrother, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he made it all happen. He allowed it to happen. So I'm also eternally grateful to him for such an opportunity. All right, so we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.